Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the Church today.
Hello and welcome to The Lutheran Inquisitor. I'm your host, John Ehlers, pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Orpington, Kent. We'd like to invite you to attend one of our services. We meet for divine service Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. I also serve the Raynham Mission. We meet the first Sunday of the month at 3 o'clock at the Evangelical Free Church on Durham Road. And I also work with the saints at St. Columba in East Kilbride, Scotland. I'd like to encourage you to attend any of those congregations, but if you don't live in the area, why not go to our webpage, lutheran.co.uk, click on the directory button, and find the nearest congregation to where you live. Go and pay them a visit. I know you'll get a warm welcome. I'd also like to encourage you to download our app and take us with you wherever you go. Go to Google Play, Windows Store, or App Store, and you will find the Lutheran Radio UK app. Take us with you wherever you go. And thank you again for all of your support with your prayers and your financial contributions, for it is your gifts and your prayers that keep us on the air. Today, we are very pleased to welcome Dr. Samuel Nafsker. Sam was a graduate from Concordia Seminary, where he did his Master's of Divinity. He also studied in Heidelberg, Germany, and received his doctoral degree in systematic theology from Harvard University. He has served parishes in Texas and Massachusetts. He also served as the executive director of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Commission on Theology and Church Relations from 1974 to 2008, and he was assistant to the president of the LCMS from 2008 to 2010. Sam served also as the executive secretary for the International Lutheran Council from 1993 to 2011. Presently, he is retired, living in a suburb of St. Louis, Missouri, and he has been working for many years on a book entitled Confessing the Gospel, A Lutheran Approach to Systematic Theology. And it's that which we're going to be discussing today. So we'd like to welcome Dr. Nafsker. Welcome, Sam.
Thank you. It's good to be with you and looking forward to this.
So what do we mean by systematic theology? That sounds like quite a big word. What does that actually mean?
Well, in the book itself, we define systematic theology as, quote, an organized, coherent exposition and formulation of Christian doctrine for the contemporary church. So that would be a rather precise, short, maybe somewhat technical definition of systematic theology. I like to think of it as, maybe in a more colloquial way of speaking, a response to the exhortation of Peter in his first letter, chapter 3, when he says, "But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." And so I like to think of systematic theology as a way of being able to give a response, an answer to the question of, what is Christianity all about? What is the hope that we have? What is the core beliefs, the central doctrine teachings of the Christian religion? And systematic theology is pulling that out from the documents that we have in the scriptures.
And you entitled the book, A Lutheran Approach. So it sounds like you're talking about a Christian approach here, so all Christians may take a similar approach. So what's different about the Lutheran approach to systematic theology?
Well, whenever we go to the scriptures, we find there's not the Bible is not made up of doctrinal essays and doctrinal exhortations and books and documents. It's a book made up of various kinds of writings, all inspired by the Holy Spirit, but some of them are sermons and proverbs and parables and hymns and poems. poems and different kinds of literature. And the key to really getting to the scriptures and what they're about in terms of the key doctrines, the key teachings, is what do you find to be the key that really unlocks the contents of the scriptures? And for Lutherans, the heart, core, and center of our understanding of the Christian religion has at its center the emphasis on the very central doctrine of the Christian religion, which we sometimes refer to together with other Christians as the gospel in a nutshell, John 3:16, the whole Bible is a kind of an exposition of, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And at the very beginning of the Lutheran movement, that was the issue that was at stake. And that's what brought about the Reformation, actually. And it was an attempt to make that the central teaching. And that's why we put a Lutheran approach to systematic theology, confessing the gospel. It is to make that prominent in everything that we say about all the things that the scripture has to teach us about what Christianity is about. The thing that makes it specifically Lutheran is the prominence and the centrality of that gospel core.
And I love how it's called confessing the gospel. The Lutheran Church has always been known as a confessing church. So what does that mean, to confess, or why is confessing so important?
Well, the Reformation was conceived in a time whenever that central core was somewhat obscured, sometimes hidden, sometimes completely missing. And in the life of the church, there was a lot of talk about indulgences and how sinners can get right with God by what they do and what they give and how they respond to certain needs that come up in their lives and in the church. And so whenever Luther posted his 95 Theses, the central thrust all the way through those 95 Theses was the gospel. Theses 36, for example, in Luther's 95 Theses. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Then Luther said, any truly repentant Christian has a right to full remission of penalty and guilt, even without indulgence letters. And whenever he made that statement, it caused a hailstorm of controversy. And that turned into a controversy over the authority of Scripture. What really counts, and how do we go about getting a good, clear, precise definition of what the gospel is? And then that brought the question of the whole role of Scripture into play. The Lutherans did not want to be doctrinal innovators. They wanted to be those who confessed the gospel the way it is presented in the Scriptures. And they wanted to do it on the basis of Scripture alone. Scripture as the foundation and the basis for answering that question. And that, in turn, meant that you had to deal with various corruptions and various ways that this had been hidden and sometimes totally disregarded. And in order to make that clear, it was necessary to write certain documents and confessional statements of saying, well, whenever we talk about the gospel, this is what we mean by that with respect to the life of the church, with respect to all of the teachings of the church. That's always got to be central. And so we have documents. And in 1580, the Lutheran Church then pulled together these documents, including the ancient ecumenical creeds, and said, whenever we talk about that gospel that is the center, we want it to be in conformity with what the scriptures teach and with what the church from the very beginning has confessed as the heart of what it is that we believe. And so the Lutheran Church is called a confessional church from that respect. And so whenever we got ready and noticed the definition that I gave at the very beginning of what is systematic theology as an organized, coherent exposition and formulation of Christian doctrine for the contemporary church. And so that raises the question of, well, the church is never confessing and making a defense, making a statement and a declaration about what it is that we believe, because we're always living in the midst of a changing world. God's word doesn't change, the scriptures don't change, but the context in which we make that confession and give an explanation of what it is that the hope in our heart is, that has to be done over and over again in changing context of the church and of the life in the world in which we live.
So is that one of the reasons why this new book has been published?
Yes, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, of course, is not the whole Lutheran Church. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, of which I'm a member, and is a church that came into being in 1847 from confessional Lutherans who left Germany in a time of rationalistic infiltration into the church. And they came to this country and established the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And the chief document or confession of our Lutheran faith was prepared back at the beginning of the 20th century by a man by the name of Francis Pieper. And a lot of water has gone over the dam since the early part of the 20th century. And so for many years, starting out, this project actually began back in 1983, and I was part of the very beginning of this whenever, at that time, President Bowman, who was president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and a systematic theologian for many years at the seminary, was the impetus for having our church prepare a systematic theology, a dogmatic theology, synonymous term, systematic, dogmatic, for the Lutheran Church and for wider Christendom. And that was a project then that began in response to saying, we need to have that confession, that statement of the gospel, the heart of what we believe, teach, and confess, in light of not only the kinds of issues that were being discussed in 19th century Germany, but in light of all of the developments in Christianity and in the church, the wider church, in the 20th and now the 21st century.
So could you give us a history, then, of how this has developed?
Yes. Back in 1983, President Bowman at that time, in response to a request from our publishing house and from our Commission on Church Literature, appointed a committee of five people representing the seminaries of our church and the presidents of the districts and of the Commission on Theology and Church Relations, of which I was the executive director, to do to meet and ascertain the precise needs of the church in this respect. And we came back in that committee with a report to President Bowman that there was indeed a crying need for a new dogmatics, not new in the sense of what it is that we believe, teach, and confess, but in the light of the context of the church, as I said, at the end of the 20th and beginning of the 21st century. And so this committee then made its report to the president, and the president in turn accepted that report and named working editors, including myself, and John Johnson, who at that time was chairman of the systematics department in the St. Louis Concordia Seminary, and Howard Tepker, longtime professor of systematic theology in Fort Wayne. And we immediately went to work in terms of how, what kind of a book, what kind of a systematic theology could we try to put together. And from the very beginning, we felt that it should be something that would be from the wider church than just the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And so we wrote letters of invitation to the professors of Missouri Synod seminaries and colleges and universities, but also to partner churches around the world and the International Lutheran Council, and sent out letters of invitation to participate as drafters in preparing this new dogmatics. And we got a wonderful response. Almost everyone that we invited agreed to participate. Secondly, we went to work in terms of the title for this book, and we spent a good 6 months working on preparing this title, and I really do love it. Confessing the Gospel, a Lutheran approach to systematic theology. It embraces exactly what I believe and what I think all of us believe was the way we should go about doing this. And thirdly, we decided early on that we would follow what we call the building blocks approach to the preparation. And this is a kind of a new idea in terms of a classical understanding of what a systematic or dogmatic theology is, that we would try to present that core and centrality and emphasis on the gospel of what Christ has done in his suffering, death, and resurrection for the salvation of sinners, that we should not only concentrate on the content of confessing that in our new environment and circumstance, but in the method that we go about doing this, that we would do it in such a way that it would, and the very method that we followed would show how Lutherans go about doing theology. And so we decided on the building block approach that would begin with a presentation of what we call the biblical foundation, the scriptural foundation for the key doctrines or articles of faith that are found in a classical dogmatics textbook. And that we would begin with simply reviewing in a very elementary way, no polemics, no great organization, not trying to turn this into a doctrinal essay at this point, but simply saying, starting with Genesis and going all the way through to Revelation, what does the Bible teach about the 15 topics that we chose to be in this dogmatics? Maybe I'll just list those. Would that be helpful to you?
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Why did you choose these topics?
A prolegomena, which is kind of simply an introductory word, and we didn't follow this methodology with prolegomena. That's more of a doctrinal essay all of its own. But then we tried to line up the chief articles of the Christian faith, God, creation, anthropology, the person of Christ, the work of Christ, the Holy Spirit, and then in the second volume, the work of the Holy Spirit, Holy Scripture, baptism, the Lord's Supper, the doctrine of the church, ministry, Christian life, or sometimes referred to as ethics, last things, or eschatological topics and issues that belong to the last times, and finally, the doctrine of election, of predestination, sometimes it's referred to by some. And so those were the 15 topics, and we said we want to organize each of those treatments of what the Scriptures teach and what we believe, teach, and confess on the basis of what the Scriptures teach about this, and so that people can see that we're not elevating the confessions of the Lutheran Church or of any denomination over the Scriptures. We will begin by presenting simply the data that we find in the Scriptures and the confessions, the Lutheran confessions, for each of these topics. And so each of the 15 loci, except for the prolegomena, are organized around, first of all, simply taking a look at and presenting the data as found in the scriptural foundation for this document. In the second section, of each topic, of each this topic in the dogmatics, we would present how Lutherans understood that and have confessed it. Since Lutheran pastors, whenever they are ordained to the ministry, and that's true of all the various Lutheran denominations, the 250 or more of those around the world, their pastors take an oath to teach in accordance with the Lutheran confessions, as a right understanding of what it is that the Scriptures teach. And so we thought that it would be important, since this is a Lutheran dogmatics, that we would also present, once again, just the data for what the Lutheran documents, and that includes the Ecumenical Creeds, the Apostles' Creed, the Athanasian Creed, the Nicene Creed, and say, what do they teach about Scripture or anthropology or baptism or Christian life? And that would be the second section. Only then would we present an organized, systematic treatment based upon an examination of this data from the Scriptures and the Lutheran Confessions into an organized essay about the article of God. Who is God? And anthropology, creation. God created everything. What do we believe about? What do the Scriptures teach about creation? And that would be in the second section. And the third section would be now this systematic presentation of what an organized presentation of what the Scriptures teach about that issue is. And at this point, we decided we wanted to be not polemical. This was to be a positive statement based upon what we have confessed and believed, and not try to rehearse all the errors of everyone through the history of Christendom, but would present a positive essay about baptism, the Lord's Supper. And then in the fourth section, we want to take up kind of the history of that topic, or sometimes referred to as locus. What have been the problems and the challenges through the years that have brought us to this point in the history of the church? And so here we would become, at times, maybe somewhat polemical, but we would hope always in the context of that passage I began with, 1 Peter 3, with gentleness and respect, always trying to emphasize the Lutheran approach and the emphasis of the gospel and how various errors in the history of the church have diminished that centrality of the gospel as we made our confession. And then finally, the last section, which is a short section, what difference does it make? Why is this topic of any interest today? What are the practical implications of having a topic in the dogmatic textbook on ministry or the church or creation? What's the payoff? And so that's the practical implications of that particular doctrine for mission and ministry today. And that became then the organizing principle for how we went about creating this dogmatics, that each of the topics would be treated in this fashion, and that we would try to emphasize these points and in that way demonstrate what we said earlier about the Lutheran approach to doing systematic theology.
And in doing that, you are hoping to equip the next generation of church leaders to answer these questions.
Exactly. And we wanted to do, and maybe this gives me a chance to say, to make this not only just from the United States point of view and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, but we sent invitations to theologians from around the world. It's interesting that of the 15 LOTCE, the primary drafters for four of those are members of churches with whom the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is an altar and pulpit fellowship, and members of the International Lutheran Council. And of the 62 contributors to this project that are listed at the beginning of the dogmatics, 13 are members of churches outside the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And we felt that that would give us a wider understanding of the context of which Lutherans, Lutherans live today as we carry out our mission and ministry. It's also, I think, important to point out at this point that we wanted to involve all of the people who are involved in teaching theology in our seminaries around the world, of the International Lutheran Council seminaries, who are involved in the various departments of training pastors and bringing up pastors for this generation in the history of the church. Exegetes, those who specialize in specific sections of Scripture, and those who are historians about the history of the church, and those who are involved in the practical department, as well as those who are confessionalists, those who teach the Lutheran confessions, and who teach systematic theology. And so we try to involve in the writing of each of the LOTCE individuals for the various sections of this building block approach to give a more universal and at the same time a more technical input from experts, the best experts that we could find, who had done a lot of work in each of the topics that we chose to include in the dogmatics.
And I think that pays off. And it also was lovely to see that this volume was introduced at the ILC World Conference recently in Antwerp. And I think that,
well, that
was a wonderful event.
Thrill for me because, as you know, I had been involved with the International Lutheran Council for many years, going all the way back to 1987. I've attended all of the meetings and was a part of the desire to turn the International Lutheran Conference into more than just a meeting of church leaders, but into a more formal council. And I was privileged and honored to be asked to serve as the executive secretary of this organization following its founding as a council in 1993. And in that way, I myself became acquainted with leaders of all of the confessional Lutheran churches around the world. And as we conducted our meetings, and I often was able to report on how this project was coming along, and no one envisioned at the beginning that starting out in 1983, it would take 35 years to bring this project to conclusion. But it was something that I think many members of the International Lutheran Council became aware of, and also, as I indicated, involved in doing drafting for this project, and even made some monetary contributions. And then to be invited to come back and be able to hold up this two-volume work with Dr. Kentz from our Concordia Publishing House, it was a very wonderful experience for me, and I was very grateful that Dr. Culver and the leadership of the council invited me to be in Antwerp to make that presentation.
Well, it was indeed a wonderful event, and to see the fruits of all this labor actually come to fruition is a wonderful thing.
I thank God for it. I do believe, you know, this is not an age for great tomes on systematic theology. I like to say we live in a bumper sticker mentality kind of age. If you can't say it simply and shortly, then people kind of sometimes glaze over. But I believe that as long as we understand the gospel to involve what God was doing in Christ, that in the fullness of time he sent forth his son to be our reconciler between God and man, there will always be a need for confessing this gospel in a way that takes seriously the heart and core of our faith. And that needs more than just a bumper sticker. It needs to deal in a respected fashion with those ways of undermining that confession. And you can't do that quickly and simply. And that's what we attempted to do here with this dogmatics.
Unfortunately, we're running out of time, but we do appreciate your talking to us about this wonderful new book. Can I invite you back next week where we'll actually walk through one of these chapters to see it out, how this is actually done in practice?
Very good. I'd be very happy to do that.
Thank you. And we invite our listeners to join us next week on the Lutheran Inquisitor.
Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.